As the rangers of C Company crept ever closer to the gates of Cabanatuan, Captain Prince's fear of being detected immeasurably deepened. Then, from the northwest, a godsend. They heard a low and indistinct rumble that seemed to emanate from deep within the ground, but in a few seconds it clarified into a more familiar sound, the clean, metallic hum of prop engines. A fighter was hurtling across the sky toward them at low altitude, coming from the direction of Lingayen Gulf. Soon the aircraft was on top of them, a strange-looking plane, black as anthracite. It had a long, capped snout, a swollen abdomen set with cannons, and sweeping black tails, two of them. There was a hooked needle stuck in its nose that looked vaguely like a stinger. Stair-stepping back from the cockpit was a confusing array of nacelles and bulbous lucite housings. On the side of the nose was painted a Zaftig nude, in the style of Vargas, with the hand-sketched moniker, Hard to Get. Musi smiled as the plane shot past the camp. This menacing, insectile-looking thing was, he realized, the answer to his prayers. He'd asked for a plane, and the Sixth Army had provided one. In truth, Musi had half assumed that his request had been bungled, stuck somewhere in the vast mire of inexplicable snafus for which the Army was infamous. Instead, headquarters had come through with the most impressive new fighter in the U.S. Air Force. Hard to Get was a P-61, better known as a Black Widow. The Rangers had seen these strange twin-fuselage warbirds back in New Guinea, where they'd been introduced in the summer of 1944. Aside from its wicked appearance, what was most remarkable about the Black Widow was what it harbored inside its domed fiberglass proboscis. The P-61, newly sprung from the factories of Northrop, was the first American plane to be equipped with radar, in this case a large, cumbersome internal dish contraption known as the Radiation Laboratory SCR-720. The Air Force chose to paint the aluminum alloy skin a matte black because the plane was expressly designed to be a night fighter, employing radar to chase down targets from dusk to dawn. Earlier that afternoon, Musi's radio request for air cover had been forwarded by 6th Army Headquarters to an outfit called the 547th Night Fighter Squadron, the Air Force group that flew Black Widows from new airstrips set up along Lingayen Gulf. There were 38 pilots in the squadron, but the assignment to fly over the Cabanatuan camp went, more or less by luck, to a 26-year-old pilot from Rainier, Oregon, named Kenneth Schreiber. Accompanied by a radar specialist, Bonnie Rux, Schreiber took off just before 6 o'clock from a prefabricated airstrip fashioned out of pierced steel planking, a new material of connectable galvanized metal sheeting that enabled the Air Force to build in a matter of hours runways that once took weeks to construct. Climbing high above the blue scallop of Lingayen Gulf, Schreiber veered southeast, barreling straight over the central plain for Cabanatuan. For the Rangers, pinned down on the rice paddies, Hard to Get's grand entrance inspired awe. The arrival couldn't have been more perfectly timed. The plane banked low over the camp and roared across the Pampanga River, circling back for another pass. With their eyes fastened on the gloaming sky, the Rangers grinned at each other and shook their heads in delighted admiration. The Japanese were terrified. 6th Army Headquarters couldn't have dreamed up a more malevolent-looking aircraft to instill fear or attract attention. At first, the guards and transient troops scrambled for cover. For a short while, the scene inside the camp was one of utter confusion. Once the shock wore off, and the Japanese realized this probably wasn't an air raid after all, they simply stared up at the Black Widow, stared in wonder, consternation, and disbelief. They were transfixed. They'd never seen such a plane. Pilot Schreiber did his best to make Hard to Get behave as oddly as possible. Without firing a single shot, he performed a series of taunts and feints, wheeling and stalling and reversing directions. At one point, he killed an engine and let the plane falter as though it was crippled. Feathering the engine to make it sound as though it were fatally wheezing, he aimed the plane for a ridge of foothills miles in the distance, trying to convey the impression he was about to crash. For a few moments, he vanished behind the hills. Then, at the last possible second, he pulled out of it and turned back for another tease. On and on it went for 20 minutes, this coquettish dance in the twilight sky. Schreiber and Rux could see the Rangers creeping the fields, and clusters of spindly-legged POWs waving up at them from within the compound. If an emergency developed, the two airmen were prepared to strafe the Japanese with the 20-millimeter cannons that were part of the Black Widow's onboard arsenal. Such an action would have brought its own dangers, however, and thankfully it wasn't necessary. The ruse appeared to be working precisely the way Captain Pahota hoped it would. The guards were looking skyward instead of groundward, and the Rangers were inching forward.